Albert, who do you think would top in a relationship between Aquaman and Prince Namor the Submariner?
Ain't that just two bottoms?
Y'all need to keep Prince Namor's name out of your mouths.
Warning. The Kingdom Cast podcast contains spoilers about comic books, movies, and entertainment in general, as well as anything else that crosses their minds. Please do not take any medical advice seriously, nor legal advice that they may or may not give out. For that matter, it's probably for the best that you take nothing that they say seriously. Welcome to Kingdom Casts, the podcast that discusses in-depth things that do not necessarily require in-depth discussions. Geez, we certainly all missed you. We've sorted out the situation with Sandra. As you can tell, she's back. And we promised to take it a little lighter on her fish guy thingy, fetish, whatever it is, whatever the hell's going on with her and...
Y'all are not blaming this on me. Thank you very much.
Sandra Swindle is joining us once again. I'm Stan Daniel, and with me as always is Albert Marsh. So, Albert.
Yeah.
Where you been?
Right here.
Waiting on somebody.
I ain't been nowhere.
Well, it's good to hear from you, man. It is that, both of you. Even though Sandra was a little more touchy on the Prince Namor thing than previously thought. So, what's been going on with comic books, guys?
I don't know. I haven't read comic books in months.
What?
Are you being serious, man? You haven't read
any comics? I haven't had time.
What's the last thing you recall reading?
God, I don't know. I don't think I've read anything this year so far.
Batman. I'm sure it was Batman.
It was probably DC.
They only published Batman, so it had to be one of those.
Yeah. You got a point there, Sam.
I honestly don't remember.
We published 10 comics, 8.5 of which are Batman. That's right. Well, I'm asking you seriously. You don't necessarily recall what you last read. No. Sandra, how are you on your reading? What have you been reading? Have you read anything? When was the last time you read a comic?
Well, I actually read a comic today while I was waiting for the dentist to suck big bucks out of my wallet. Yeah, I'm reading the first volume of Coda by Cy Spurrier. I've been reading a lot of trades and stuff in independence. The last Marvel thing I read was Death of Doctor Strange and the follow-up to it, Strange, which is a good segue into... I actually masked up and went to see Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness in the movie theater.
You're right. That was a good segue. It was very premature because we're going to get back to not reading.
All right. You can cut that up. You'll have to do a lot of editing, Stan. For the Namor appearances, I'm reading Peter David's Maestro World War M, which has got 3 issues out. It's like a future alternate Namor.
It deals with the alternate reality Hulk where he becomes Maestro.
Right.
And that's been stellar.
Yeah, it's been really good, except I do not understand this need Marvel has to put Namor in a goatee. Good Lord. It's a scrofulous looking thing on his face.
It's the Mr. Spock thing. They gave him the goatee in order for you to tell him apart from the regularly evil Namor, as opposed to the alternate universe evil Namor.
It's funny that you should say that, because in the last issue of Maestro World War M, there's a several page dissertation on villainy. Highly recommend that series.
I'm somewhere in between you and Albert. I've kept up with some stuff. I know that Namor is appearing in almost every issue of Jason Aaron's Avengers, which I still cannot stand and have completely stopped reading, but check in on every second or third issue.
That's be some kind of clone or Doombot or something, because that's the worst Namor ever. I just read that and
my that's the worst version of each of those characters ever.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're complaining. I really, really, really have lost all enthusiasm for comics. And not too long ago, I was really hyped about
the X-Men stuff that Hickman was doing. But now without Hickman, without the other creators that started it, New Mutants sucks. Marauders number one relaunch was one of the top 10 best-selling comic books of last month, the month of April. That shocked the shit out of me because I read it. This isn't even the same damn comic.
Who wrote it?
Oh, I don't even know.
Steve Orlando.
Steve Orlando wrote that?
He's fighting the Marauders.
Everything is falling flat. Credit where credit is due. I am, of course, reading and keeping up with all of the Star Wars stuff. To me, the Star Wars comics have just gotten better. Darth Vader is off the charts so far as storyline, fitting into continuity, expanding the character without doing too much. The Darth Vader comic is outstanding. I'm still not thrilled with Bounty Hunters, but it's better than it was. Dr. Aphra is Dr. Aphra. She's hit a happy median there. She seems to live in that area. The main Star Wars comic is really engaging and really good. But aside from that, I just can't get a foothold in another superhero comic. And every time I go to DC, it gets really, really depressing. I hope you like Batman. There's nothing there. Having said that, there is only one true-to-form superhero comic being published today. Albert, do you know what that is?
World's Finest?
Yes, by Mark Waid. He has nailed that book. We are three issues in. It's just glorious. And usually, three issues in is usually when editorial starts interfering with Mark Waid. But I don't think that's going to be the case this time.
No, that book, based on what I've seen of it, it seems to be like its own little separate thing.
It's creating the DC universe or reintroducing you to the DC universe. It's doing a wonderful job. World's Finest is an outstanding superhero comic. If you're looking for something to sink your teeth into, I cannot recommend that enough. Now, having said that, let's get to some of the big news here. While we were away, Discovery finished its legal tete-a-tete or whatever's going on and has successfully taken control of Warner Brothers and all Warner Brothers properties, including DC Comics, HBO Max, any and everything else. I have a new hero. Aren't you going to ask me who my new hero is, Sandra?
Is it about DC?
It's more than about DC.
Who's your new hero, Stan?
My new hero is David Zaslav.
Is he the guy that was Discovery?
Yes. From here on out, we're just going to refer to him as the Zaz.
Oh my God. No, Stan, you're going to refer to him as the Zaz.
No, we all are going to refer to this man as the Zaz. I'm not.
I was about to say, hopefully I'm never going to have to refer to him.
I've been reading every article I can get my hands on for the past couple of months regarding Warner Brothers, the takeover from AT&T. AT&T still gets some percentage of it, but look for them to opt out of that share. AT&T is now freed from the cumbersome burden of Warner Brothers and its related properties to go back and continue to give you to the shitty cell service that they are so renowned for. So thank you, AT&T. Well, if they want a better advertisement, they should put a cell tower closer to my house, Albert.
Or at least pay you some money.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that was something else. We've been hit up a couple of times. Why isn't your podcast donating money to this podcast? Doesn't make money. This podcast has never made money. The closest we've ever come is making a joke about making money. But, you know, my God, if people are going to ask us to donate, then we're going to ask people to donate too. Not this episode. So worry about that later.
Donate to what?
This podcast. The Zaz. The Zaz and his Discovery crew walked in to the AT&T offices of Warner Brothers. And I understand that Killar, the CEO of Warner Brothers, he was the first to be told goodbye.
I get confused. Is that the guy that has never like read a comic before and he came from ESPN or something?
Yes. Yes, he was. And to ESPN, he shall return.
Yeah, he didn't impress me at all.
That's Disney.
He didn't impress anybody. And so, no, I'm not. I don't know he's really going back to ESPN. I don't know what his plans after this. But first move they made was they cleared all the Warner Brothers high-end execs out. Last week, I am given to understand that the Zaz called in the people in charge of making the movies, the producers, and just read them the Riot Act. Now, this was after he had done an interview where he had stated things about he was not at all happy with the treatment that Superman, the character of Superman, has gotten over the years, and that Superman should be considered the cornerstone empire.
He should. That S should be on the screen side by side with the actual Warner Brothers emblem every time. It should be that high up, the marking, you know, the chain.
I'm with you. But to be fair, Superman is not exactly making Scooby-Doo numbers. But the
That's not Superman's fault.
No, it's not. And the Zaz has called people out, and he's going in with what I think is the right attitude. Part of that right attitude is that he asked, what in the hell is this Clint Eastwood movie that has just flopped just severely? Cry Macho. Was it? He particularly called that out.
Yeah, but I don't.
I'm not picking.
My view on that at this point, based on Clint Eastwood's age, if he wants to make a movie, just let him make a movie.
Well, that's exactly how what remained at Warner Brothers responded to the Zaz. He point blank told them, we're Warner Brothers. We owe jack shit to no one. It's not show friends. It's show business. Now, that's a direct quote. Well, that's
what that movie cost to make, like $10?
I don't know. He's just showing that it's a brand new day. You don't worry about what the Disney studios are doing. You worry about what's going on here at Warner Brothers. This is the attitude this guy's bringing. I heard that. I didn't hear. I read it. I'm reading all of this. Nobody's telling me any of this. I also read that when they walked in, the Discovery crew walked in, they were like all in casual dress, jeans and stuff. The AT&T upper echelon and Warner Brothers / AT&T. No. This doesn't work for us. We're strictly business. And no, all that's gone. I'm psyched about this guy. I am as psyched about the Zaz as I was when Iger took over Disney way back in, oh dear God, what was it? 2007, 2006, sometime around there. I like this guy. This guy knows what he's doing, I hope. But he's very much aware of the comic book division. And my theory is that Mark Waid's getting away with doing whatever Mark Waid wants because everybody above Mark Waid is too busy worrying about where their next paycheck is going to come from.
Well, he's
doing some really good stuff with World's Finest.
Is Discovery, did they buy a portion of Warner Brothers from, did they buy Warner Brothers from AT&T? Is that the deal here? I'm not following it.
AT&T entered into a deal with a Discovery Networks for Discovery Networks to essentially take over Warner Brothers and the entertainment division. In other words, they're taking over everything that was not AT&T before AT&T bought what was Time Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Time Warner, AOL, AOL. So look forward to look forward to America Online making a comeback. No, I wouldn't go that far. But they entered into this agreement. Look, they have complete creative control over all Warner Brothers properties. I read as much as I could, the agreement as I could, because it's boring as hell. But it does not look like there's a back door to take Warner Brothers back, which is fine with the AT&T execs who never understood what they were doing with an entertainment company to begin with.
No, they didn't.
So, yeah, they're good with it. We're good with it. They stand to make some money. But the hit list, right away, Green Lantern Corps, Strange Adventures, all of those wonderful HBO Max programs we were promised and never heard anything else about. Well, they didn't really exist to begin with, and now they're gone.
Good.
Yep. So those are out. Peacemaker.
Yeah, but I mean, that was like that stuff. You know, Sony announced a new Spider-Man family movie every week. Yeah. How much of that crap we got?
You got Morbius. What's your problem with Morbius, man?
Well, what is that one that they're talking about doing that character, that spider character has only appeared like in 2 issues and some guy named Bunny something or the other is supposed to do it.
Are you talking about
Spider-Man? Oh, Bad Bunny? Yeah. I forgot what it was. I know what you're talking about.
This is ridiculous. How is this guy getting a movie?
Sony should do is they should ignore all that stuff. Junk and just do the animated Spider-Man stuff.
Could y'all clue me in on what you were talking about? Was it Spider-Punk?
No, it's some Mexican
Oh, him.
Wrestling guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah, I don't understand that either. And Sony, I don't think Sony does as well. I'm all for Sony going back after No Way Home. I am all for Sony going back and fulfilling the rumors that Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is coming back.
El Muerto.
Yeah. Muerto.
And the Latin pop icon Bad Bunny is supposed to be playing this guy who, like, literally, I think somebody told me he's only appeared in, has only had two appearances. Why are they making a movie about him?
Well, that doesn't.
You can at least make a movie out of Tarantula. I know that guy.
I read one article on that.
White Tiger?
I read like a half of an article on the El Muerto situation and just threw it off as whatever, Sony. I don't care what Sony. Sony can.
Yeah.
When Sony hits hard. When they miss, everybody forgets it. Who remembers? Just in February, the release of Robert Pattinson as Morbius. I mean, we've already forgotten about that movie.
It wasn't Robert Pattinson.
Oh, what Robert Pattinson play?
Batman!
Oh, there's another movie we've already forgotten about. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the setup and the pitch. I'd like to thank Sandra for participating in that.
Yeah, right.
Albert, I know you weren't an active part of this little joke, but you know, your moral support means the world to us.
You leave me out of that.
The movie that was just going to shatter every record and somehow made its way to HBO Max 30 days earlier than it was scheduled to.
Did it?
Yes.
Right. I mean, these movies, they're only going to be good for like a month in the theater.
I don't know. Spider-Man No Way Home is still running in the theaters.
It is.
He was at festival when we went to see Doctor Strange.
Who in God's name is watching it at a theater now?
Well, everybody, it's an epic movie you want to catch in the theater.
No, it's not. It's overrated, it's bloated garbage.
It's not too,
on DVD.
It's not two kids with a GoPro and a flashlight getting Robert Pattinson to pretend he's Batman. This is Spider-Man No Way Home, made by Marvel Productions, man. Uh-huh. Marvel Studios. I apologize. I've forgotten the name.
I mean, I've already forgot about Moon Knight, and I watched the most recent episode like 2 hours ago.
I enjoyed the hell out of Moon Knight.
It was an okay show.
Oscar Isaac deserves at least an Emmy nod for that. He did.
I wouldn't go that far, but him and Ethan Hawke, they're the only reason that show worked.
Well, of course they're the only reason.
They carried that whole show with their acting, because that wasn't a good show on the story and plot side of it.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and rewatch it. I rewatched Hawkeye again, and I still loved Hawkeye.
Hawkeye's a fun show.
It is. Hawkeye
doesn't try to be. I mean, it's just Hawkeye, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Several things are changing due to the Zazz and Warner Brothers. Right now, I think it's kind of an atmosphere of nervousness around DC Comics. I'd say if Mark Waid played his cards right, this may at long last be his opportunity to become editor-in-chief if he has the right temperament for it. That's the big thing about Mark. But I mean, his storytelling capabilities, especially in regards to DC Universe, hell, in regards to Marvel for that matter, are off the charts.
Remember that Doctor Strange run that just sort of ended out all of a sudden? Remember that? That was a great run.
That was a great run. There was a reason it ended. And I think Mark also sensed an opportunity or the air of change coming at DC Comics. And so he's back over there. Man, I counted them. DC put out 10 comic books this week, Albert.
Mm-hmm. For eight of them, Batman.
Well, that's medium to high for DC from the last, since they started distributing the comics themselves. They're not distributing themselves. They're still going through DCBS or whatever it's called.
I'm going to get back into reading comics. A video game came out, and I promised myself I would play that to completion.
No, what video game?
Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah, that's big everywhere.
Yep. He's lying, people. He's playing the Skywalker Saga Lego game.
No, Lord, I'm not. I played Elden Ring. My first playthrough took about 120 hours.
Where did you get 120 hours?
Not sleeping, mostly.
Oh, there you go.
Like, that's literally all I was doing. If I wasn't at work, if I was at home, I was probably playing that game for a couple hours every night.
I'm dying to start playing video games again. I just haven't had the time. I haven't had the ability to go in and play the games I so love. I haven't even played the last, before the Lego Rise of Skywalker game, I haven't even played the last Star Wars game that I got that everybody loves with Cal Kestis in it.
Who?
I'm anxious to play it. Cal Kestis, he's a fan favorite character from the last Star Wars video game.
I never heard of him. Oh, is he the...
Have you played the Star Wars video? You're not a Star Wars
Jedi fan. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Okay, my mind went blank. Yeah, yeah, that was a good game.
Oh, did you play it?
The one where you're the Jedi?
Yeah.
I played it.
Well, I'm envious.
That was on Xbox Game Pass. That's how I played it.
Oh, kick ass. Good. I'll eventually get the chance to. And Sandra, what games are you playing?
I don't play games.
Sandra doesn't play games. You heard it here. Sandra Swindle does not f*** around.
God, she's a serious man. Woman for a serious time.
That's exactly right.
More like I just could not figure out what the heck, unless it's one of those flight simulation things. Which key am I supposed to press?
Oh, God, I missed. Yeah, I remember that.
More like, okay, you know what? I'm just, and plus, I don't have time. Like y'all, my time is somewhat limited. And then when I do have time, I like to spend it just completely vegged out in front of the TV.
See, my problem is I work with a bunch of lazy ass teenagers. And so apparently I've died and went to hell in this frozen yogurt shop.
Kingdom Cast shouting out to all the lazy ass teenagers out there.
Bunch of asses.
Uh-huh. Are they doing ridiculous things like demanding you pay them?
For doing nothing.
You want me to work more than 10 hours a week? Oh, God, I can't do that.
Let's go ahead and continue to roll on here. Since we've already mentioned No Way Home, all three of us have seen Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Why did it take so long for another Doctor Strange movie? Was it the COVID?
Because they were just getting it right. That's why they had to get it right.
They actually had to go back. I understand there's like three cuts of the movie. One cut scared the bejesus out of everybody. The other two cuts were both rated R, and Raimi finally said, here, you edit it or something. They finally got it to a PG-13. The star of Multiverse of Madness is Sam Raimi. This is a Sam Raimi movie through and through.
There's enough of him on screen where you can tell that it's his, that he's directing it.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't mean he shows up personally on screen. We mean the notes he hits, the theme, the timing. As a matter of fact, you can tell a couple of places where a couple of forced cuts had to take place. One of those places is the Captain Carter scene. I remember Captain Carter, the one that somebody kept insisting would never show up in a movie because Namor hadn't shown up in a movie yet.
Something like that.
Yeah,
couldn't believe that they were going to have that character show up. And it wasn't really a huge, huge part, but she did show up in live action. You were right about that.
Well, our Disney source and two other speculative sources, so take this with a grain of salt, has said that in one of the original drafts of the script, Submariner was a member of the Illuminati, but ultimately Feige or whoever the powers that be keeping everything on schedule said, no, we're not introducing him here. It comes out too quickly with Black Panther 2. They wanted his controlled introduction through Black Panther 2 rather than have him be a member of the Illuminati. I don't see what the big deal is. I think this would have started a major buzz. People overnight all becoming Submariner experts, you know, like they did with Dane Cook or whatever the Black Knight's name is.
Dane Whitman.
Yeah, him too. Dane Cook. Who's Dane Cook?
He was a stand-up comedian.
I was about to say, redneck comedian.
He's not a redneck comedian.
Doesn't he do the show about the rednecks?
No.
Dane Cook? I don't think so.
No. You're thinking Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy.
Dane Foxworthy? That is old, old, old. Dane Cook.
Dane Cook. I don't know where I got it. I meant Dane Whitman.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever heard of the Black Knight. Nobody cares about the Black Knight. Even people like me who have the damn official handbook of the Marvel Universe memorized could give a crap about the Black Knight. He's like Cadus at DC, or what's the other one? Checkmate at DC. Whenever they show up, you know you're in for a lame comic.
That's not true.
Oh, it's verifiably true. Name one good comic book. Dane Whitman
was in the Avengers more than once. He's an Avenger. And he was in the Defenders.
So was Demolition Man. Squirrel Girl too.
Did you notice we got Frogman and She-Hulk? We still ain't got Namor.
Oh my God. Did you see that She-Hulk trailer?
I noticed.
It's terrible.
I thought they got it right.
No, they need to work on that CGI big time. It looked really bad.
We'll wait and see on the CGI, but the tone, the humor, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it. I was not excited for Moon Knight. I like Oscar Isaac, but I ended up liking Moon Knight a lot more than I thought I would. I'm excited about Miss Marvel. The more commercials I see for that, the more I like this girl playing her, and the more the story looks solid to me.
I had zero interest in watching Miss Marvel until I saw the trailer with the little animated things, and it just looked like a fun show. But yeah, I like the She-Hulk trailer. I'm not the CGI connoisseur, so I mean, it looked fine to me, but what do I know? I apparently don't know that Captain Carter was going to show up live action in the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, or Mr. Frog was going to show up before Namor in anything.
And Namor's coming. He's there in Black Panther 2. Black Panther 2 comes out after Thor 11.
I'd rather have him show up than have him show up in Black Panther 2. And I'll tell you something else. I still don't think he's going to show up there, but if the rumors are true, and he is in Black Panther 2 as
he is
a lion, then I don't think anybody would have recognized him in the Illuminati, because everything they're talking about for that character is he even going to breathe water? I mean, I don't think they're going to, I don't know what they're doing. I think they're going to make some character and slap Namor's name on it if he's in
there. No,
that.
They're not doing that.
The three people that listen to this podcast would have recognized him.
Well,
devout DC fan Tim Bryant would have said, hey, there's that other Aquaman from the Marvel Universe.
The only way you're going to get your best view of probably of Namor in the movie theater is Black Adam and Aquaman 2. In fact, I'm looking at this Black Adam action figure from McFarlane. I'm thinking, can I get those clothes off and it'll be Namor?
Just take the head off and do something with it.
So as we record the podcast, you're sitting there fondling Black Adam action figure.
No, I'm looking to try to keep up the news here, Lord.
It's called kit bashing, Stan.
Kit bashing. Yeah,
she turns Skype and her microphone off after we're done. She looks at the action figure and says, I can smell what The Rock is cooking.
Lord. Stan, you are so dating yourself.
Oh, speaking of dating myself, let me tell you how my wife made me consider filing for divorce just the other day. We watched the She-Hulk trailer. I was all giddy and excitement, smiling because they got the one-liners. I like Tatiana, who's playing She-Hulk. What's not to like about this? This looks like they've got it. Now, yes, Albert, you're right.
CGI, I don't know. It looks pretty bad to me.
They can tweak the CGI a bit, and we'll see when it comes out. Everything looked right about it, and I was so thrilled with it. And I looked at my lovely wife, Denise, and I said, well, and she said, why is Hulk so gigantic and bulbous and a raging savage, but She-Hulk is all feminine and funny and so on and so forth? I just sat there and looked at her. That right there told me that she hasn't listened to one of our podcasts because they had her all savage in the book, and I would complain about that every other episode.
In that book where nobody is written in character?
Yeah, well, that was one of the books. Somebody, I forget whose bright idea it was to, you know what, to truly show that she's a feminist, we have to make her stupid and drooling. And they did. They did exactly that. And now finally they've snapped her back to normal, where she's an attorney with a wonderful IQ and able to articulate thoughts. And she looks great as She-Hulk too.
And she's not in the Avengers anymore.
No. That's because they're going to give it another go. They have to have a comic book to coincide with that.
They do have a comic book.
I haven't seen a She-Hulk comic, but I know she's in the Fantastic Four, and I only know that because I was kind of spinning through there.
She's part of the Reckoning War, but I think it's Rainbow Rowell, the gal that did the Runaways, is writing a She-Hulk book.
Well, here's hoping. Yeah, I want your opinion on something. We spoke briefly about this at the... No, we're all over the place. Let's concentrate on Multiverse
of Madness. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
Yes, let's concentrate on Doc Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. How did Jim from The Office work for y'all as Reed Richards?
Maybe clean him up a little bit, but he works.
Well, I mean, that's been a fan casting forever. I just assumed that was just more fan service.
there's more than just fan service that went into him getting the part. My favorite line in the entire movie was when the building shook and Reed looked up and said, "She's here. She's penetrated our defenses." And Dr. Strange looks at him and says, "No shit, genius." That sums Reed Richards up in one sentence. Nobody likes Reed Richards. Dr. Strange doesn't like him. Tony Stark doesn't like him. Ben Grimm's only with him because I think Reed's got pictures on him or something.
Ben Grimm is a big friend of his. What are you talking about?
I think Ben Grimm's just there to make sure nothing happens to the kids. So who are we going to get a Sue Storm / Richards opposite him?
Oh God, I don't know.
Well, the fan castings want
his actual wife.
But yeah, I mean, who are they going to? Sandra was about to say
Emily Blunt, his actual wife.
His actual wife. And you know who I would like to see, and I think would actually play off of Krasinski fairly well. Oh crap, The Good Place.
Belle. Oh God, her.
Yeah,
I don't see her.
But when they introduce them, aren't they going to be introduced in the 1960s? And that what Strange brought up.
When did Strange bring that up?
I thought when he saw Reed, I thought he mentioned something about the 1960s.
Go back and watch it again.
There was some speculation that what he was referring to was there's a Motown group called Fantastic Four from the 60s.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. No, that was. Yeah, I remember that line. I thought you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he was making fun of their name. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to get them. Yeah, Ben and Johnny, their characters are so archetype and so well done that you cast the right character actor as Ben Grimm, you got a great Ben Grimm. Sue's a little different. What's her name? Kristen Bell? Is that her name?
Yeah, I mean, that's an actress named Kristen Bell, yeah.
Dax Shepard's wife. I think she'd do well off Krasinski.
Technically, you don't have to cast anybody because she's invisible.
Well, there you go.
Oh, Lord.
But who will watch the children?
Which is the completely opposite of what the woman's supposed to be, which is seen and not heard.
Well, I thank y'all for joining us on our first back and final episode. Albert Marsh's opinions are not necessarily the opinions of Stan and Sandra.
But they're the only opinion that matters. Well, going back to Doctor Strange, I thought one of the neatest things in that movie that it wasn't the cape at the end with demons, whatever they were, when he was having a fight with the other Doctor Strange and they were doing the musical notes.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
I think that was very, very well done. Awesome. I was like, that's really neat.
Oh, that is so cool.
Thinking outside the box, that was really well done, yes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the whole thing. I gave it on the Channel 6 review, I gave it a 7 out of 10. And I gave it a 7 out of 10 because the flavor is completely Raimi. If I knew nothing about this film other than it was a Doctor Strange movie and went in and sat down without the opening credits or the closing credits and without Bruce Campbell, of course, easily able to identify this as a Raimi movie.
Well, I think the weakest thing in the movie was probably Wanda.
Why was she weak?
I think there was so much. I mean, it's a Doctor Strange movie. But as odd as it sounds, despite her being the bad guy in the movie, it seems like you could have almost replaced her with anything and still could have probably worked.
Well, again, this goes back to the rumored cuts of the movie, that there was one cut that people were just not accepting because, no, you can't do Wanda like that. Wanda's not dead. A pile of rocks did not kill the Scarlet Witch. She's going to be the catalyst for Secret Wars. And here we go, because I can't see them. God almighty, I do not want them to try to explain the Beyonder to the general populace.
With his jerry curl.
Oh, somewhat incorporate Hickman's version the way he did it, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, the Beyonders on the edge of existence when they cut through and have Doom and Strange and Owen Reese, the Molecule Man, deal with them. That would be, that's understandable. That doesn't require a lot of explanation. Explaining Secret Wars 2, oh God, I can see the clickbait headlines now. Marvel superheroes make a stance on the abortion issue. Yeah, 35 years ago in Secret Wars 2. God, I don't know what in the hell Jim Shooter was thinking there. Y'all remember that?
I read the Secret Wars 2 one time, and that was it. Same with Secret Wars 1. I only read Secret Wars 1 one time. Oh, they're not good comics.
Secret Wars, the first Secret Wars is. I've reread that recently. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Secret Wars 2 was not a good comic. Sandra, do you remember it?
Vaguely.
You remember at the end, the Beyonder decided that the only way to truly understand humanity is to divest himself of all of his powers and actually have himself physically reborn as a child, a human child. And he creates this Kirby-looking machine, this Jack Kirby-looking giant machine to do just that, where part of it contains all of his godlike power. He's developing as a fetus in it, and the superheroes run up to the machine because this is the only chance they have to get rid of this godlike being who can blink all of reality out of existence with a thought. They've been dealing with him to no success at all throughout the series. They run up to the machine. Then, for the next three or four pages of the last issue, it's the abortion debate, finally decided by Owen Reese, who destroys the machine with the fetus in it.
Lord have mercy.
I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. That's exactly, they show you, Shooter was responsible for this.
The Shooter
wasn't,
Catholic?
Wasn't he responsible for that Avengers annual, or was it Avengers 200, where Carol Danvers ends up having a baby with Marcus, who's somehow related to her or something or the other?
Yeah,
or
it's much more complicated than that. She has sex with her own son, who the sex brings about his existence. If you think that one statement is cornball and messed up, read the dang comics. This is the most
Was that Jim Shooter?
It was under Jim Shooter.
And then Claire,
in fact, Jim was not at all happy with that.
And then Claremont, yeah, well, who wants to incest? That's just so wrong. Incest and rape.
Well, it was so casually happening. It was happening in slow drips that by the time anybody realized the end game. Ultimately, the Busiek run on Avengers went back and straightened a lot of that out. And the Busiek run came like 20 years after the original stories. There's a lot of things that in comic books that you don't want to bring up, that you don't want the general populace discussing and stuff. So I would imagine we're headed towards Secret Wars without a Beyonder, which I'm good with.
Well, if we are heading towards Secret Wars, I'm almost for sure it's going to be Hickman's. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's Jim Shooter and poor David Michelinie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. David Michelinie.
Or it may just be like Age of Ultron where they just used the name and that's it.
You're going to have the multiversal fraction collapse thing because they keep jumping between multiverses. A little tidbit came out that the spell in No Way Home that Doctor Strange was casting seemingly messed up Spider-Man. That was not Doctor Strange's fault, nor was it Peter's fault. It occurs at the exact moment that female Loki kills future Kang.
That's nonsense. It was clearly Peter's fault.
No, not Peter's fault. Peter's a kid. And I mean, you're dealing with Doctor Strange there. Doctor Strange is more powerful. It has more wherewithal and concentration than to let some rambling teenager mess something up.
Teenager. The spell was clearly based off of his
wish,
desire or wish. It was tied to what he was saying, and he kept changing the wish.
Still not enough to knock Stephen Strange out of the zone. Feige did come out. Feige did confirm that. At the exact moment Strange was casting the spell, when it all goes awry, is the exact moment the one at the end, or whatever Kang, Immortus, whatever Kang was calling himself, was killed.
Well, they should have had that on there if that was the case. As it was in the movie, it was Peter's fault.
Not Peter's fault.
It is Peter's fault.
Yeah, you just don't like Peter because you're not getting Namor.
I mean, in that movie, it's Peter's fault.
Yeah, in the movie, it's Peter's fault.
It looks change like it and say whatever, but I mean, I know what I saw.
And yeah, even though I'm a huge fan of Namor the Submariner, I do have a grasp on reality and realize that Spider-Man is the most popular Marvel character.
Spider-Man is more than just the most popular Marvel character. He is the biggest, bar none, moneymaker out of comic books, movies, everything.
No, he's not. Pokemon is.
Batman, that's not comic books. That's a card game.
They have mangas.
Yeah, a lot of people have mangas. Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman comics combined don't touch what Spider-Man's revenue is. I was shocked at that. I would have thought the answer was Batman.
Insert eye roll again. I still don't get that Doctor Strange in Spider-Man. Still doesn't seem like Doctor Strange to me.
Honestly, it seemed like you could watch No Way Home and go right into Multiverse of Madness. And to me, I don't see a change in it. He's still smarmy, arrogant. I think he's more arrogant than Tony Stark was. Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark was.
I don't know.
He's definitely more smarmy. I don't think Doctor Strange is somebody that Steve Rogers could work with on a regular basis.
And Iron Man is?
Well, he gets along better with Tony than he does in so far as the comic book format goes. Well, and the movies, he gets along better with Tony. He and Tony are close. There's a lot of crap about Tony he doesn't like, and there's a lot of crap about Steve that Tony doesn't like. I don't think Doctor Strange is somebody that could sit regularly at Avengers meetings.
Well, let's just remember that...
Of course he could sit regularly at Avengers meetings. Dude was a top surgeon. He probably had to sit at meetings all the time.
Captain America sat regularly with Namor the Submariner all through his superheroing career. So, and most of the time, except when he's written by Jason Aaron, considers him a brother in arms.
Cap has a better relationship with Tony than he does Namor.
No, not really.
He and Namor he does not understand what happened to Namor since the time he went into the ice and came out of it. And the problem there is the reason he doesn't understand that is he only knew Namor while Namor was on his side fighting Nazis.
That's not true.
The Namor beforehand, he point blank did not give a crap about life or outside of the ocean.
Are you talking about the comics?
Yeah, I'm talking about the comics.
Well, you need to go read Avengers 262, I think, or 262. It's Hercules that gets Namor out of his depression, but it's Cap who wants him to join the Avengers the first time.
No, I remember that.
Yes.
I remember when Cap had Namor join the Avengers.
Right.
Yeah, I also remember the more recent incident with the Serpent Crown situation. And there's
Serpent Crown situation?
Oh, there was this whole, wasn't it the Invaders? Where,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yeah. That's Zdarsky writing that.
Zdarsky's Invaders, yeah.
Yeah.
That recently came out, like 2 years ago.
Which had this huge retcon, which, again, didn't make much sense. Yeah, there were some issues with that, too. But Cap and Namor, that has been a manufactured post-Silver Age relationship.
Oh, the one instance I recall that stands out to me most is when Cap sends Sue during Civil War to petition Namor. Mm-hmm. And Namor just point blank said, yeah, and he took advantage of our special relationship. And Sue, of course, being coy.
What special relationship, Namor? Hold on, let me gargle some Listerine to get the sardine taste out of my mouth.
Namor just sent her packing home, but Namor's scaly butt shows up right when Cap needs him the most in the middle of the final battle of Civil War.
Right.
And so it's always kind of a begrudging thing. Cap said a couple of times, I don't even know who you are. And I think that's more from Steve's delusions so far as the comic book relationship goes.
No, that's a Namor fan's reaction to what the heck are these modern writers doing?
That's Jason Aaron. That's Jason Aaron all over the place.
Well, it's not just Jason Aaron. I mean, then you had the Zdarsky Invaders thing, and then you had Hickman's Illuminati thing.
I thought Hickman and Bendis pretty much had him nailed in the Illuminati stuff. I did not like the artist Maliv's interpretation of Namor in that one issue.
God, that was horrible.
Talking about when Bendis, which of course made no sense whatsoever, but Bendis had Cap join the Illuminati, and then Hickman had to deal with getting Cap off the Illuminati because there's absolutely no way that Cap should have been on the Illuminati in the first place.
Period. The whole point of the Illuminati was to keep things from Captain America.
That's right. That's why Namor said, well, we have to keep all this on the QT.
They could have offered a chair to Lockheed the Dragon before they offered it to Cap. But yeah, I'm in full agreement with you there.
Yeah.
Let's flash back a couple of more points on Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Sandra, were you excited to see Anson Mount.
I was stunned. The thing with Professor X had kind of leaked out. The black they put his voice in. Yeah, with Anson Mount, I was just stunned that that happened. I was, oh my God!
And then they killed him.
Well, they killed all of them. Yeah. And that's why I don't think...
They let Professor X have the X-Men cartoon show theme.
Yeah.
Well, they did. The theme, the chair, everything. They didn't kill Baron Mordo. Baron Mordo's still alive in that reality.
That's why I think that whole Illuminati thing was a bunch of fan service, because they're not going to do...
They don't know what they're doing. All these movies are just cameos now.
Oh, they're not. They're not. They're not. They've got a plan, and this plays right into it. What did you think about Anson Mount returning his Black Bolt? Albert?
I didn't care.
All right. So,
I give a crap about Inhuman stuff to start with.
The score so far goes to Sandra is Anson mounted and Albert is not Anson mounted. I'm going to be the tiebreaker on this and say I don't give a crap about Black Bolt, but Anson Mount kicks ass as Christopher Pike in Strange New Worlds.
Yes. Well, he did in Discovery.
Well, in Discovery as well, yeah. But we're two episodes into Strange New Worlds, and he is just all sorts of awesome. That second episode of Strange New Worlds is an actual Star Trek episode, which I don't think we've seen since the original series.
What'd you think about Picard Season 2?
Oh, God almighty, save us. Somebody make it stop. I don't even know... Is this a tax write-off? This has got to be a tax write-off. There is nobody that liked Picard Season 2. Even the people that claim they liked Picard Season 1, after Season 2, they're all saying, no, we were mistaken, and this was a sin against God and man.
I agree.
An extraordinary waste of John DeLancey. An extraordinary waste of John DeLancey. And what part of Whoopi Goldberg being ageless do people not understand? Whoopi Goldberg now looks pretty much exactly like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, they could get by with it.
Continuity.
I can understand why she is like, yeah, I can age. I didn't like the idea that when they went back in the past, it wasn't Whoopi.
I watched every episode.
No, Sandra, I haven't watched it. I'm not going to waste my time.
No,
there's two episodes where Seven... And I forget the other character's name. Seven and her girlfriend never leaves a parking lot in Los Angeles. Their entire story arc for two episodes takes place with them standing in the same parking lot. And the director, Jonathan Frakes, thinking he's clever by moving the camera around to get different angles of that parking lot, never mind the positioning of the buildings in the background or the exact. I want to know where all the budget went, because all they did was they had the first episode, blew their special effects budget, and the rest of it just so conveniently happens to take place in modern day Los Angeles. I am done.
If you want to do a subplot or something about something like ice, Star Trek, you just use some different alien races.
It's not even that. This looks like this doesn't even have the production quality of one of the 911 episodes with Rob Lowe in it, which I am unfortunately familiar with because my wife makes me watch them with her at gunpoint.
Oh, 911. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what
you're talking about.
Well, there's episodic television called 911 that's got Rob Lowe in it as a firefighter.
That's 911 Lone Star, isn't it, or something? Because there's two
Tell me they make television shows that are actually still episodic?
Oh, wait a minute. I want to get back to Sandra and say there's a difference.
Yeah, one has Angela Bassett and one has Rob Lowe.
Sandra, they are so interchangeable that there are times when I say, Rob Lowe hasn't been in this episode much. And Denise is like, well, gee, you can get it.
Your wife does listen to these, doesn't she?
I thought so until the She-Hulk comment. Anyway, she doesn't.
Well, that was so long ago. She probably forgot you moaning and complaining about She-Hulk, Aaron She-Hulk. She probably doesn't even remember who Namor is anymore.
No, she knows who Namor is.
Did any of y'all listen to the Batman Spotify thing?
No, I've got it on. I've got it up next in my
Batman Unburied. It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
Well, you suggested it. I looked it up, and everybody's raving about it. I've got it. I just haven't had a chance to listen to it. What's the setup? Is it a radio drama or?
Yeah, it's pretty much a radio drama.
And that's on Spotify, and it's Batman what?
Unburied. It's about a serial killer that's terrorizing Gotham.
Isn't the guy that plays Winston Duke the guy that plays Mabaku doing Batman?
Yeah.
Mabaku.
Yeah.
Mabaku.
Yeah.
Mabaku. Yeah,
I understand. Great voice.
I understand they gave Mabaku a little bit more money for Black Panther 2 in the middle of production. Not that he was petitioning or threatening to walk away or anything. It wasn't anything bad. It's just that, look, dude, apparently you're going to be carrying this movie. Now put on your Prince Namor ears and wings on your ankle. Baku.
Well, I will say this Prince about, you know, there's a lot of people that have complained about Wanda's treatment. I know that's how you feel. I know you don't feel that she did. I know his name is Albert. I was trying to figure out what Wanda's name was. I know, Albert, that you thought that was a weak link in the show, that she wasn't a very good character in there. But the Wanda fans are up in arms that she got treated badly.
She got backdoored. They feel that she got backdoored was the number one complaint.
What did that do with her?
And that she, that
Vision didn't even show up in the Doctor Strange movie.
That it was sexist to have her do the whole crazy woman and the child angle, the children angle.
Yeah, but there was a version of her that was,
it is. It is somewhat sexist. But
no, it's not.
Well, guys are automatically there. Every Lifetime movie vilifies a guy picking up his kids from school and running away with them and stuff like that. So it's the same thing. It's just society has got to come to terms. Not everything is a personal attack on you as an individual or your sex or your race or your comic book habits, or some things are simply archetypes and stories. And this is one of them. Wanda's the most powerful character running in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at the moment that we've been introduced to. Her power base is such is that she's powerful in multiple realities. Yeah, we needed this. This move, Wanda's not dead. Wanda's story arc
They're not complaining about her being dead, because I don't think many of them think that she's dead either. They're complaining. Well, first of all, they're complaining that they think that she was, quote unquote, redeemed in WandaVision, that the ending of WandaVision left her aware of what she had done and trying to redeem herself for it. And I was, well, did you really watch the end of WandaVision? Because the end of WandaVision that I saw, she went off to the mountains and started corrupting herself with Darkhold.
She took the Book of the Dead and was like, yeah, I'm going to figure some stuff out here.
Yeah.
And went ahead. She was corrupted by it's not the Necrocomicon, but it's a Sam Raimi movie. So it was the Necrocomicon. You can tell yourself
what it is. Necronomicon.
Necronomicon. I'm sorry. Necronomicon.
Well, it was
like a key party for funeral directors.
What if they made a movie called Necrocomicon?
Necrocomicon. Well, that's pretty much what it is now, because I'm going to get right to it, guys. Based on our conversation, I'm going to call it what myself and many other comic book experts are already saying. We've had the Golden Age of comics, the Silver Age of comics, Platinum Age of comics, the Modern Age of comics. This is actually the Lost Age of comics. I'm going to call this from New 52, from the end, from the second reboot of New 52 forward, we have slipped, in my opinion, into the Lost Age of comics, because there is not, every time we get something substantial that's got teeth to it, it just fizzes. And it's over. Nothing. There's nothing to get excited about. I look forward to the Star Wars stuff, but even all that has to go inside the lines of what has come before and what they're setting up. I've just not read anything since well before the last episode of the podcast, before we went on hiatus, that has made me excited about anything. The last thing I was excited about was Hickman's X-Men. And now that he's off of it and taking Dugan and everybody else with him.
Dugan's still there.
Well, he's there sometimes. He's not on New Mutants anymore. New Mutants is a travesty.
He's writing X-Men.
Well, yeah, okay. I'd rather not talk about that with Captain, what are they calling Cyclops? Captain Mutant or whatever.
Yeah, what's that crap about?
I could care less about Polaris and Sunfire. I really could.
Sunfire. I like Polaris, too.
I liked Sunfire when Claremont was writing him and he was a jackass to everybody. I don't like this Sunfire. I don't even recognize him.
Well, that seems to be a problem with a lot of things. Well, have you read Kieran Gillen's Immortal X-Men?
Yeah, I've read the first couple of issues. It's got promise, but I'm bogged down by, hell, we're on Mars, we're on Krakoa. Nobody knows what Wolverine is doing. And
that's X-Men.
Aren't they all gay now or something?
I've explained this to you before. Mutant sexuality is not human sexuality, Albert. So if Wolverine and Cyclops want to bump adamantium visors or whatever with gene filming, that's their own business. You as a human cannot judge that.
And I'm not can judge that.
I'm not going to sit here and let you cast aspersions on an entirely different race, species.
It sounds pretty gay to me.
No, I think it would be bisexual or pansexual.
Gene ain't doing nothing in that bedroom.
We know that he's also attracted to women.
I'm good with it until Wolverine and Lockheed are shown in the same bed together. Then I have a problem because I really like Lockheed. Lockheed the dragon, who looks
You ever seen those dragon dudes?
Oh Lord!
God, yes, yes.
They make some that'll like inject you with eggs.
Oh God!
Yeah, and they make an alien thing that does it too.
You know, Stan's gonna edit all this out.
Oh no, I'm not.
I hope so. God,
I'm done with the censorship. We're not running a comic book store anymore. This podcast is clearly not meant for people under the age of 15.
You know what? They're doing all this, you know.
Rating on this then, because I noticed it says clean, which I'm like, gosh, when did that happen?
It's always been clean.
I know what we're missing in comics.
Storytelling?
You know, they're doing a thing. Character development? We're getting a lot of like LGBTQ plus characters, which is fine. Good. I don't mind that. I'm fine with it. But we need like some characters or something.
Yep. There's the editing part coming right back at you.
Like, you know, we got Blank Man in that movie and that was it.
Uh-huh. Real quick discussion here. Aquaman 2 and Flashpoint are on a quiet hiatus, even though they're both in post-production or done. I understand Black Adam and Shazam 2 have gotten the complete green light. Nobody stands in its way. This goes back to Ezra Miller continuing to beat random people in public and having it filmed.
And saying weird stuff.
And, of course, Amber Heard.
Something about videos of him beating up people who are NFTs now or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they Amber Heard, I think they said they're going to sort of edit her down.
Oh, Warner Brothers completely dissed her in public. They stopped following her on all social media. That's like a slap in the face. That's a public slap in the face. Mm-hmm. You got those two situations. The rumor mill, and again, this is purely speculation, is that the Flashpoint movie's fine, but they're toying with the idea of coming in. And since Flash has changed realities and Batman changes from Affleck to Keaton to Affleck to Adam West and whoever the hell else, the speculation is at the end of the movie, once Flash fixes everything, it's a different Flash. It's a different actor playing the Flash. I don't know that they're going to say this is no longer Barry Allen. They should have Grant Gusta from the TV series show up in the Flash costume.
Surely he's in that movie.
I don't see. I think be missing an opportunity. I understand that the movie revolves a lot around Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot in the background as the B story. And the A story is Batman and the Flash. Again, I don't know. I haven't even seen any stills from it. We do know that there's problems a brewing for Ezra Miller and Amber Heard, who has left movies to apparently pursue a career on Court TV.
Only thing wrong with Ezra Miller, he's from a privileged life and nobody kicked his ass when he needed it.
I think that's a lot of people.
Yeah, look at the way the world is.
That's a lot of people.
I don't know. I know that they just wiped out the CW. Not only did they take a bunch of those Arrowverse and DC shows off.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of that Arrowverse stuff, if you think about it, it went on.
Outlived itself. It's still going.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going, but it really went probably farther than anyone ever expected to do.
The actress that played Supergirl had to finally say, guys, I'm out. This has been a decade of my life. Goodbye.
I like her. She's pretty.
Oh, she was pretty. She was funny. She was perfect Supergirl. I liked her a lot. I like Superman and Lois, or Lois and Superman.
Yeah, that one is still alive. And Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, what is the CW showing? Because they docked out all those shows.
You can say goodbye to the CW.
That's what I'm saying. Naomi and Batgirl and Legacy, and not just the DC comic stuff. There's a couple other shows that were not comic shows. and those are gone. And I'm like, well, what heck are they going to show?
The Zazz is cleaning house. I'm willing to bet you that by this time next year, the CW is not the CW we have known since the 80s, since the early 90s or whenever it launched.
When did it launch? It wasn't early 90s. It's not that old, I don't think.
Yes, it did. It launched in 93, 94.
Remember, it was WB first, and then it changed to CW.
Fox launched in 1986. So, yeah. And not all states would carry Fox, or not all. The Fox didn't have affiliates in all states when it first launched. The Zazz, he's going in there. He's a man with a plan. You got to give it to Discovery. One thing they do well is they do entertainment well. Now, it's not my sort of entertainment, like House Hunters, where, hi, I'm a poodle groomer and my wife collects rocks, so our budget for our next house is $400,000.
I remember now. Originally, it was UPN.
No,
it was originally called the Dub. WB.
There was the WB and UPN.
I'm pretty sure UPN was first, and then they changed it to that.
I can clear this up for
they
you both.
They did have the UPN, but that's a Paramount.
Guys.
That's a Paramount channel.
I've got the answer.
WB was the Warner Brothers channel.
Uh-huh. WB came first, then the UPN network. And because they were draining from each other and the Fox was getting all the results with Married with Children and The Simpsons, UPN and the WB joined together and launched the CW.
Ah, there we go. So we're both right.
Yes, you were both right. But in a much larger way, you were both wrong and I was the one that was right.
Forward.
You weren't right because you was just reading off the internet.
I was not reading off the internet. I will have you know I don't have my glasses with me, so all I can see is a very fuzzy duck in the middle of an orange logo on my screen.
You wear glasses?
I do now.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you're old.
We've been dating himself left and right in this episode.
I had to make some lifestyle changes because when you wake up one morning, go out to get the mail, there's a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield saying, look, dude, we got your blood result back. And is there anything we can do to help?
Jeez.
You have to reevaluate what you're doing.
But, just do what I do and don't go to the doctor. Just let God's will take its course.
That's exactly how I feel. Doctors have the best PR system going because every other television episode, every other streaming episode is doctors, and they're always heroic or misunderstood, but still heroic and wonderful. And they're here to help. And that's not doctors at all. They ain't in it to help you. They're in it for whatever their little Frankenstein experiment dictates, demand of them. And whatever drug selling agents pushed on them this week so they can, hey, if I pass enough of these Paxils out, I can get a cruise. Don't trust doctors, especially don't trust politicians. Do I even have to say attorneys? As a matter of fact, you don't trust anybody.
Especially Stan. Don't trust Stan.
No. You see, Sandra, when you own a comic book shop for 16 years, you learn a few things. None of which I can remember. I mainly recall telling Albert to write those things down so we could talk about them at a later date. Albert, do you happen to have that notepad with you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
See? So you see the backup system that I had going there. Okay, look, that's going to be enough for our first episode back. What's the second episode going to be about?
No. Have y'all watched Barry?
No, but I've got it in the list on HBO Max. Albert, I don't know what, now that I think about it, I don't know what I'm doing with my time. I started to say, Albert, I don't know what kind of time you think I have.
Well, earlier today, I started doing yard work at 7:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And then I got too hot and overworked and started throwing up in the yard and thought I was going to die.
You're busy that way. You're busy with work. I'm busy I have to roll out of bed sometime between 10:30 and 2:30.
Oh my God.
Check eBay. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I hate you.
Check eBay and then go through the comic book boxes in alphabetical order until I find whatever's been sold online from the multiple sources that day. And
then he's got his 2 hours he sets aside for Legos.
Well, they're not going to build themselves, man. They're not going to pile out of the bag. The dog's not going to do it.
God.
When's that Obi-Wan show coming out? Are they like this next week or something?
Next week, yes. I'm excited about Obi-Wan.
I'm really looking forward to that show.
Me too. Did you see the stuff that leaked from Entertainment Weekly with the pictures of him with Ahsoka?
Yeah, I saw all that.
Yeah. I'm psyched about this. It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. It has ever since Disney took him over. I could say that because the ones that really had a problem with the Disney stuff have all died off now because they were really old to begin with. So me and the younger generation, we can sit back and appreciate Ray.
I like this!
Did you watch the Viking movie, The Northman?
Yes. Yes, I did watch the Viking movie, The Northman.
Have you seen it, Sandra?
No.
Don't. You can go somewhere else to see Skarsgård naked. True Blood, for instance.
That was a good movie.
Oh, my God.
Were there mermaids in it?
Denise asked me, and I don't even know, because time stops when you start this movie. You're just in limbo. And Denise asked me, she said, how long does this damn movie last? And I told her, I said, I was about to ask you the same thing, because honestly, I don't recall a time that we weren't watching this movie.
I think it's like a 2.5 hour movie.
What?
Only 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it's not that long, is it? I think it's really that long.
I stood in line for Rise of the Resistance less time than this man. I mean, hell, Brooke has grandchildren, and she wasn't even married. She wasn't even out of high school when we started The Northman.
Jeez.
It is a long, bad movie.
Two hours and 17 minutes.
It's not a bad movie. It's a great movie.
The whole reason this movie got made is because somebody was sitting around looking at pictures of Skarsgård and then looking on another monitor and saw Anya and said, hey, you know what two people would look really, really great naked together? That producer wasn't wrong. But we could have done this a different way than... I did not like The Northman.
You do know this is by the same guy that did The Lighthouse... Hence my, are there mermaids in it?
I didn't like The Lighthouse.
That's what I'm saying. The thing is,
though, compared to The Lighthouse and The Witch, it's like a really straightforward movie.
That's because the suits made him cut it to be more straightforward.
We saw The Northman, and then either the day before or the day after, it was still movie night, which tells me we watched one on a Friday night and one on a Saturday night. We watched Natalie Portman in the movie called Annihilation.
Oh, my God.
And Denise, at the end of it, Denise said, this was worse than The Northman. And I disagree.
No, I like Annihilation.
Yeah, Annihilation was solid. Annihilation was an allegory for breast cancer and the five stages of death. I was all aboard that. And then Denise disses Mother again. She goes out of her way to diss that movie.
That's a horrible movie.
It is not a horrible movie. That movie is outstanding. So I look at Annihilation the same way I look at Mother, except Mother is deeper.
Annihilation, I mean, if you thought The Northman was like being trapped in a time-sucking hole, Annihilation is that times 10. What an oppressive movie. That is, no.
Annihilation was solid. Once I figured it out, and I didn't figure it out until I...
don't think it had anything to do with breast cancer.
But yes, it did. It's clear.
Stages of life. Or grief. Sandra,
you go get a bong right now and quality stuff and start huffing on it and watch Annihilation again and tell me after it's over how it's about anything other than the five stages of grief, five stages dealing with death and breast cancer. It's clear as day.
It's not... I didn't say it. I said, yes, it is dealing... It's talking about five stages of dealing with death, but it's not breast cancer.
It is about breast cancer. It's a cancer upon this thing, this entity. Spoiler alert. And that's something else we're not doing anymore. If you're listening to this podcast, we're going to spoil crap. We're going to spoil it left and right. And I'm not going to swing in and say spoiler alert each time.
I'll have people know that I had to go to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness on Thursday, the Thursday before it opened, because people were spoiling it left and right. I'm like, no, I can't read anything. People just need to get a grip, man.
I think we're on two different ends of that argument.
Yeah, we are.
Just know this going forward. If you tune into Kingdom Cast, I'm going to make it. It is now my sole mission in life to ruin shit for the rest of you.
You better not. I'm not going to be on this podcast if you ruin stuff for me.
And I'm not talking about ruining it necessarily for Sandra and Albert, although I'm not going to miss that opportunity should it present. I'm talking about ruining it for you, the listener.
We all know that Stan takes great delight in ruining anything to do with Namor.
You and Albert know that I take great delight in ruining. The general populace don't know it because I was always very sweet and very nice to them when they came into the comic book store and very careful not to ruin anything. There's this one guy on Facebook, though, that got really, really mad when I posted a meme that spoiled the end of Game of Thrones. And he brought it up three more times. I don't know who this guy was. He lived in Massachusetts or something. I don't know. Finally, I just said, you know what? Banned.
Oh, no.
I'm getting real free with that ban button on the social media, too.
That's what it's there for.
If you just type, hey, look, weather's great outside and it hits me the wrong way. Okay, let's go ahead and round this up. I'm thinking that we're in the lost stage of comics. And that's where I'm going to say that it started with the second reboot from DC of the New 52 line. What did they call it? Rebirth. They called it Rebirth, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, there was New 52 and then there was Rebirth, wasn't there?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to say that it started with Rebirth at DC Comics and Didio going all wackadoo on himself and the kerfuffle with Axel over at Marvel. And they've never regained the ground. And every time Marvel seems to get a hold of something, they mess it up unless Lucasfilm Story Group is standing over their shoulder saying, no, write it like you would a story, beginning, middle, and end. People are going to say, oh, but you're talking about superhero comics. I got to tell you, I've read every damn Image that came down the pike the last year, give or take 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And they are not turning out any that I can, even the stuff that I remember, I accept. And this is an Image. This is Dynamite, I think. The King Arthur story.
That's Boom.
Yeah, that's Boom. Okay, Boom, baby. The King Arthur story, I keep wanting to call it the Green Knight because of that movie, but it's Once in Future. Yeah, that's still an excellent comic. Exception that proves the rule. The other one I was enjoying, The House on the Lake, that's on hiatus because, of course, it's on hiatus. It was a good book. Saga finally came back. Did you see that, Albert?
They finally brought it back.
Yeah, I think they did. I haven't read anything on it, but I heard that it came back. I know that Saga's been the top five best-selling paperbacks for the last 3 months, yeah. Saga Volume 1. Yeah, apparently, Saga has come back. I'm telling you, I've never had to work so hard to find good comic book stories. And I know I'm going to be inundated with all of you hitting me with your favorite, with all of you Dane Whitman fans out there. You know, have you tried this Black Knight book? No, I haven't, because he sucks.
Black Knight does not suck. I'll stand up for all of y'all.
I like Black Knight.
I do too.
Of course you do. Of course both of you do. You see, that's how bad he sucks. Both Sandra and Albert agree that they both like him. So, yeah. Lord,
this is weird. You were talking about Dane Cook earlier, and so TikTok.
I didn't
stand on it, and now I'm watching a live feed of Dane Cook in a hot tub with some woman.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is as good a place as any to call it a day.
Wait a minute. It's the goodest place. Now that you've rented on the lost age of comics, is that what you're calling it? The lost age?
Yeah, this is the lost age of comics. I don't think comics are doomed. I think they're going to come back. But right now, I think we're in the lost age. There's nothing from this. There's nothing that's... We talk about JLA Avengers. We talk about Secret Wars. We talk about Crises on Infinite Earths. We talk about Animal Man, Sandman. None of that. No. The Dark Phoenix saga. All of that's gone. I think the last good Marvel we got was Secret Wars by Hickman. The X-Men was promising, but when you walk away from it during the first act and turn it over to rank amateurs... And The Eternals. I can't even continue reading The Eternals, and I was enjoying that, but the damn movie ruined it for me, where I don't ever want to see any of them again.
Well, it's okay, because unbeknownst to us, apparently Kieran Gillen was only going to write it for 12 issues, and the 12th issue came out today.
Well, there you go.
But he's going to segue into the Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals. Yeah. Which he's writing, so I have high hopes for that.
Didn't we just do this with the Inhumans? And haven't we? Didn't we just assigned the Inhumans to complete obscurity after that. If I never hear Eternals again, I'm good with it. We can pretend that that was a Marvel movie set in the S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a Fox movie.
That's a Fox movie. That's right. That was a Fox movie. That was a Marvel Studios.
Lord. That is not such a bad movie. It's not the greatest movie, but it's not
a good. It's not a good movie, though.
Apparently it was better than the Northman. I thought it was a fine movie. It worked for me.
Of course, it had a bunch of British people in it.
Yeah, there we go. And it had Dane Whitman.
I swear to God, nobody even knew this character's name was Dane Whitman before the Eternals movie got in the cycle.
We knew who he was, didn't we, Albert? Yeah, we knew who he was.
Well, I knew who he was. He was just as relevant as Demolition Man.
No, he wasn't. Lord, I'm telling you.
You're right. He was less relevant than Demolition. Demolition Man had that kick-ass story of Greenwald's Captain America.
Yeah, I put him on like Manta Ray's level.
You mean Stingray?
Who's Manta Ray?
I think that's a character you just made up.
No, there's got to be a comic book character named Manta Ray.
Apparently, he's the amalgam version of Stingray and Black Manta.
Are you saying that Demolition Man is on the level of Stingray? Because I don't even know who Demolition
Man is. No, he's saying that Dane Cook. Oh, shit.
Demolition Man more like the old, like he had a cross between Daredevil's old yellow costume and Wolverine's mask.
Yeah. Yeah. D-Man? And he was a homeless guy.
There's D-Man.
D-Man. Okay. I've never heard him called Demolition Man.
Well, that's his full name. He's got a big D on his chest that looks like Daredevil's D.
Knight's got a far more interesting stories and pedigree than D-Man.
No, he doesn't. They've got about Stingray the same.
Is effing Jacques Cousteau in a superhero suit. What the heck are you talking about? He is awesome.
Okay. This is the part where we just wrap it up, say our goodbyes until next week. And yes, we're going to get back together next Wednesday night and do it again hopefully with no emergencies or anything coming up or interfering with that. And we're going to try to get you a podcast at least once every 1 to 2 weeks. Does that sound fair, guys?
Works for me.
All right. It's still Kingdom Casts. That's Kingdom, CASTS @gmail.com and KingdomComics@gmail.com. And on Facebook and on Instagram. Same thing for both of them. Send us your questions. I know. There's a whole bunch of, and I've personally corresponded with the people that's messages and so far. Start your questions for the podcast again. And we'll start reading your letters on there. We can work at this time where nobody insults Namor to the point that Sandra slaps us and walks off again.
I was under duress. Let's put it that way for that. That was not my ideal. Let's put it that way. I do want to say you're going to ask me if I have something to say, and I'm going to say
final thoughts. Yes.
I disagree with you on it being the lost age of comics. I do think we are in a lull because with DC and Marvel, but my God, the indies are going full guns. And if you want to check it out too, the Eisners came out. The Eisner noms came out today. What got nominated for Marvel?
Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Oh, the Better Ray Bill Argent Star by Daniel Warren Johnson.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's a good book.
Yeah. Yes, Assad Ribic's art for the Eternals. Alex Ross's cover art.
Of course.
Oddly, Strange Academy by Scotty Young and Umberto Ramos is up for best publication for teens.
Sandra, final thoughts? Shut up, Sandra. Just come on.
My final thoughts. Marvel just has done Namor dirty, and I will keep you updated on that.
Yes. So real quick, Google who Namor is so you can appreciate. Yeah. Albert, do you have any final thoughts?
I guess not.
Well, that's nice. Okay.
Wait a minute. Albert, you don't have any final thoughts?
About what?
About the comics you haven't read?
No.
Okay. I should say also that DC got a bunch of nominations for Nightwing.
Well-deserved. Nightwing's been a great book since they rebooted it.
And Immortal Hulk was the other Marvel thing that got.
Of course, Immortal Hulk deserves it. I think Donny Cates is doing real well on Thor. I'm just saying that we've got nothing 1985 through Hickman's Secret Wars was a wonderful time, and now it just sucks.
Damn. So this will no longer be a comic podcast.
No, it's going to be a comic podcast. I'm keeping up with them. You're reading them. And Albert sometimes picks one up. But we're still going to talk about comics and pop culture. Don't think that I'm completely off comics. I mean, we're not. We're just being honest right now. Not a lot of good crap out there. If you're thinking, well, he's wrong. Well, prove me wrong, kids. Send in the email. Let us hear from you. We missed you. We really did. It's been hell without you. A lot of sleepless nights. Being able to have the covers all to myself have been nice, but I've missed having you all there with me. And Sandra, I know, feels the same way.
Ranting at my dogs about the treatment of Namor is just not quite as effective as ranting at you two.
So if for no other reason, you should tune in to us now that we're back to save Sandra from a visit from human services.
Animal services.
No, I think the dogs are fine. That you were worried about. Albert?
Yeah.
Tell them good night.
Good night.
Sandra?
Good night.
And I'll say good night. I just want to say, well, whatever. I'm out of here. I'm going to go edit this. We'll talk to you later. Because since OnlyFans came along, prostitution isn't paying like it used to.